Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
They're only trying to help.
Where are they?
Well, they thought they'd just browse around the world and see if the folks didn't really care about you and Christmas.
You mean they went down there out into that cruel world by themselves?
Oh, of course not, silly. Vixen went with them.
Vixen? She's just a baby. Oh, poor little girl. No telling what might happen. Now I'll have to go after him.
Do you think you ought to, dear, with your cold and all?
I have to go. Why, those three won't even get past the Miser Brothers without...
The Miser Brothers? Oh, dear. Oh, I forgot all about those two.
Of all the fool things for them to do, why, if Snow Miser doesn't freeze them just for the fun of it, his devil of a brother will put the heat on them for sure. Dasher! On the double! Away, Dasher! Away!
The Miser Brothers, what a pair. Snow Miser, who controls the northern part of the world, trying to turn...
Hello, happy holidays, and welcome to Book vs. Movie. This is a podcast where we read books that have been adapted into movies, and then we try to decide which we like better, the book or the movie. I am Margot P. of ColoniaBook.com, and this is my good friend and co-host, Margot D. of Book and Fit Chick.
Hi, everyone.
So it's officially December in San Diego, which means we're having our second day of rain. And San Diegans, it's 60 degrees, and people are out in puffer coats and boots and acting as though, like, it, when it rains here, it's such a rarity. People act as if it's like molten hot lava falling from the sky. Like they don't even know how to deal with it. But it does make it feel a little more holiday-y.
You know,
to have it below 70.
I live directly across the street from where they sell Christmas trees. So as soon as around Thanksgiving, I'm in the mood every day. So I'm really
that's
excited.
So nice.
Yeah, it's nice.
I've been doing just a little bit every day. Mm-hmm. Just for funsies. For those of you who are new, and we've picked up so many new listeners this last month alone, welcome. This is a podcast about books and movies. Sometimes we pick other literary sources. It might be a play, might be a magazine article, might even be a song. We have a few rules about, you know, what we choose and when we choose it. But we also have a few little theme things that we do throughout the year. Every year during the holidays, every year during the month of December, we do a holiday book and movie. And since we've been in this pandemic time of weirdness, Margot and I have committed. We've been doing it. A brand new episode every single week. Which we really didn't think was going to be like a 2-year commitment.
I don't think we've done one repeat. I think there was one week we had to take off because I was in Chicago for a wedding.
That's it.
But that is it. Yeah. We've been doing it. And yeah, Margot says holidays, we do holiday type movies. We've also discovered, like, for February, if you are thinking of ideas for us, it's African American History Month in America. So we're looking for creators and people like that for that. March is musicals in March. keep that in mind. Got all kinds of things coming up. And what you can find us at Facebook. We do have a basic Facebook page. You can also join our Facebook group. A lot of people are joining the group, which is super fun. Give us your suggestions. It needs to be something that, whatever it is, a song or a short story or a play or a novella or whatever it is, it has to be something pretty easy for us to be able to get, either on a Kindle or on the Libby app. Also, the movie or the TV special, which we're doing today, needs to be something that's streamable and it needs to be available. It can't be like anything like a DVD we have to get off of eBay or something. It'll just never happen.
No, we are
on Twitter.
Not about that life.
Exactly. Twitter and Instagram, book versus movie. Just spell it all out. You can also send suggestions there. We also have an email, just a basic email address, book versus movie podcast, spell it all out at gmail.com. We have some magnets and we have some stickers if you would like some. Or just send suggestions there. We would really appreciate it.
And if you enjoy the podcast and you would like to help us keep things running around here, you can also join us on Patreon.
Yes. For all of you that are new, we have been doing the show for about 7 years now. We're going to have to start saying 8 years pretty soon, aren't we? Yikes on that. But we're,
wow.
I know, we're putting all of our episodes from 2019 and then previous to that on our Patreon page. You go to P-A-T-R-E-O-N on your Google machine, look it up and type in book vs movie podcast. We have a couple of very affordable options and we have some really great episodes there. It's like for a lot of podcast apps, we know not all of them, but for a lot of them, they do stop at 100 episodes or 2 years. So that's why we just decided to do that. It helps us also pay for the books and the movies and the hosting costs for putting on a show. So if you're interested, do that. Or look, if money's tight and we both get that, leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts. And that would be terrific.
It's fantastic. It really helps people find us and increases the membership of our little book club of the air.
Yeah. Now, retweet, post on your social media. That'd be great.
Yeah. We are going to be talking about a book and a movie, and it is a book. I had no idea it was a book. Did you know it was a book?
I looked it up, but yes.
Did you? I was my first time I was hearing that this was ever a book. And this is one of my favorite Christmas specials of all time. You and I both grew up watching the Rankin-Bass Christmas specials. I was just saying before we got on the air that, and this is one of my favorites. It might be the favorite, but I always, when I was a kid watching it, I always thought it was much older than it was. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that it was brand new. It was like a brand new thing that I don't know why, but I've always loved this. I watch it every single year. My kids and I watch it every single year. And I'm very excited to talk about A Year Without a Santa Claus.
It has just some of the catchiest music. I think that's the differentiation. I mean, they all have music in them, but this one, they knew what they were doing when they put this together. So let's talk about our author really quickly. Her name is Phyllis McGinley. She was born March 21st, 1905. She had a very lonely childhood. Her father died when she was young. She was moved a few times. When she graduated college, she started writing. She moves to New York, starts doing her writing. She wrote for The New Yorker, Ladies Home Journal, The Atlantic. I mean, she was into poetry, and what she really loved was light verse. And some people have a snobbery about it. Some poetry snobs are like, no, it has to be dense. It has to be complicated. Sylvia Plath basically had a problem with her, thought it was like a little too light. She didn't care. Phyllis just lived her life. And
no.
Yeah.
And I love Sylvia Plath.
Yeah.
But, you know, can we lighten up a little bit? It doesn't all have to be.
Well, it was kind of a serious time, too. You know, the Beat movement and things like that. So Phyllis,
but I think, you know, I just think, just to speak to that for a second, and maybe I shouldn't kid about Sylvia Plath. Again, I've read every word Sylvia Plath has ever written. I'm such a huge fan. But I can also understand, you know, Sylvia Plath in particular, but also, you know, just women artists at that time in general. It was such a boys' club. It was so hard to make your name as an artist. There's a lot of pressure to be like a role model and to be serious and be taken seriously. I sort of get it. But on the other hand, you know, you have to have somebody who's going to be like your James Thurber. Mm-hmm. You have to have somebody who's in each arena for, you know, to, what is that? The rising tide that lifts all boats.
Yes.
I think that's what she does. That's what Phyllis McGinley does. Let her do what she wants to do. This book or this story was in Good Housekeeping?
Yes.
It was in a magazine, right?
It started in magazine form. It was a poem and it was in Good Housekeeping. I think it was 1956 if I'm correct. But anyway, she also wrote a lot about being a suburban mom. She married an ad man. They lived up in Larchmont, New York, and she had kids. And this is Betty Friedan. This is the time of the feminism, and people would ask her about that. And she's like, I like being a mom and I like having kids. I grew up my whole life lonesome and always moving. And I kind of like being home in this one place. And she's also a very successful writer. She won the Pulitzer Prize, by the way, in 1961.
Yeah, she's no slouch.
She's no slouch.
She's the real deal.
Yeah. So she writes this story and it does very well. And she immediately gets a book deal for it. The book does very well. And then around 67, 68, Boris Karloff recorded a version of this story. He read the story and we posted it on our Facebook group. It's on YouTube. And it's just before he died.
It's wonderful.
It's great.
It's Boris Karloff. I mean,
right.
Come on.
Have you been told? Did you ever hear of the curious, furious, fidgety year when Santa Claus unhitched his sleigh and vowed he was taking a holiday? How did it happen? This way. It was long ago, before you were living, not yet Christmas, but past Thanksgiving, though I can't give you the very date. Santa got up that morning late, pulled on one boot, then its twin, ruffled the whiskers on his chin, and sat back down on the side of the bed. Great North Star, but I'm tired, he said. Painting wagons red and bright, sharpening ice skates half the night, wrapping presents in ribbons and gauze has worn me weary, said Santa Claus. Crick in my back, cold in my nose, aches in my fingers and all 10 toes, and a sort of a kind of a kink inside whenever I think of that Christmas ride.
TV special airs in December 10th, 1974. She really enjoyed it and she passes away in 1978. So this is like one of her big parts of her literary career. Like it's a big highlight for her. Now, for us being kids of the 70s, Rankin Bass, they did stop motion animation. If you love the movie Elf and you're wondering where all that story comes from, like the beginning, I just love Elf
so much. That movie so has our generation's number. We're just like, oh.
Well, the people that created it are like our age. You know, we grew up with these Christmas specials. And it was, there's Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. There was Here Comes Santa Claus. There was Frosty the Snowman. Do you remember the one, The Little Drummer Boy? That was like super racist. I mean, there was times when,
There's some little cringy moments.
Yes.
We have women's lib and whatnot, and the civil rights movement has happened, and we're not completely evolved. There's still some stuff that's getting in there.
Yes.
Particularly in our Christmas traditions.
For some reason, yeah, it brings up stuff. The studio, it was created in 1960 by Arthur Rankin and Jules Bass. It was very, very popular. And then during the 80s, you know, animation just got bigger and bigger. Kids were not into stop motion for sure. Like that just wasn't cool anymore.
No, it became, and also we should talk about what came before it too, you know, in terms of stop motion. Mm-hmm. You know, you're talking about Gumby and Pokey.
Davy and Goliath.
And which was innovative and groundbreaking on its own. But when you look at that and then you look at the Rankin Bass stuff, it's such a leap forward. I mean, it's really, they are really pushing the envelope in terms of effects and what they're doing with stop motion animation. But you're right. Yeah. By the time we get to the 80s, that seems hokey and passe. And we've got other kinds of animation that we're playing around with. But these always continue to air on television during the holidays because you need
content.
Like now, you need content.
Yeah. And when you're little, you don't know what stop motion is, but it's almost 3D-ish. Like it does have like that extra dimension to it.
Yeah.
Which kind of keeps you engaged. So this is the story is that Santa Claus has a cold when you're... And this is another thing we should say. And we've talked about this when we've talked about other holiday movies. for decades, people have been saying everyone is too materialistic. No one knows to have the spirit of Christmas. Everyone's just about the presents. Nobody says Merry Christmas. They say Happy Holidays. This is decades of this.
It's built into the Western Christmas tradition to be terrified that we're losing the Western Christmas tradition.
It is a part of the tradition. And in the 50s, that was a thing. You know, people started having fake Christmas trees that were white or, you know, just all kinds of stuff. So Phyllis writes this story about Santa Claus wakes up, has a cold, and he's like, ugh, I'm just exhausted this year. Kids don't even care. The kids don't even care about my toys. They think I'm hokey. They don't even believe in me anymore. My doctor, he says I should rest. I'm just going to rest. And so Mrs. Claus is like, all right, you know, you rest if you need to rest. And then the word gets out to the kids around the world that Santa is sick. He's tired. He needs a rest this year. There's not going to be a Christmas. And then the kids of the world, first they're upset, but then there's one Ignatius who helps rally all the other kids. And they decide to create toy packages and send them directly to the North Pole to Santa. So he can have his own day, finally. And this warms Santa's heart so much that he says, you know what? Let's get that sleigh out and let's go and have a Merry Christmas. And that's really the whole story.
It's quite short.
Yeah.
It's lovely. I wish, and it's easy to find, we should say. Mm-hmm. It's super, super easy to find. I wish we could have found it with the original illustrations. Aren't you dying to know what the original illustrations were?
Yeah, you know, maybe somebody will find it.
I wonder if it did have illustrations when it was in the original Good Housekeeping when it came out. Yeah, I don't know.
Those magazines were so much bigger.
I didn't find any.
They were very big at the time.
They probably did.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's a lovely story about what's behind the presents that we give at Christmas. You know, it's about the generosity and showing somebody that you care and all of that. And it's charming. But that really is the whole story. It's really just as simple as that. Santa's sick. People don't care. I'm taking the day off. The kids are like, oh, poor Santa, let's send him presents. And Santa is rejuvenated and revived by the Christmas spirit shown by the children of the world. The end.
He's jolly again.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. That's it. And it's a fun, like, rhyme. You know, it's very much, I mean, on the par of that, you know, visit from St. Nicholas, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. It's very that. It's a little poem, fun to tell, read out loud at Christmas time to kids. I'm surprised that it took so long for them to make something with it.
Well,
but I love it.
It's great. I mean, I think they were always creating content for Christmas. I mean, the book came out like a year later, but we have to also say, like, at the time, and even it's like that today, it takes a long time for animation to be finished. And they did it overseas. The album did very well, the Boris Karloff album. And on the one side, and you can find this on YouTube, by the way, it's free. You can listen to him tell the story. And then they said on the flip side were all these Christmas numbers. And one of them was Blue Christmas. And it sold like crazy. So it took a few years. But let's move forward to 1974. Mickey Rooney was Santa in a lot of these things. He had a great voice.
He's a good voice performer.
He really is.
Yeah, he really sells it. He does a good job. And he gets, I like, especially in this one, how what he does with the Santa voice, that, like, you could tell, like, you really buy that Santa feels sick and tired.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you really feel that, like, and then when he's kind of revived, he has this strength in his voice that isn't there at the beginning. Yeah, he has a good performance.
It's great. Shirley Booth is our Mrs. Claus. This is her final credit before she retires.
Shirley Booth.
She's wicked adorable. Well, let's play this first clip. We don't really have an ad, so we're just going to play the intro. And it's basically Shirley Booth is basically saying everything we just said to intro it. And then we get into the story.
Did you ever hear of that terrible year way back before you were born? When Santa Claus took a holiday on the night before Christmas morn.
It was a year without a
is what he said.
I could sure use some rest. I'm not feeling my best.
And he yawned as he talked to his bed.
There'll be a year.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This movie also co-stars Dick Shawn and George S. Irving. They play the heat miser and the cold miser, the snow miser. So it starts off with already Santa saying that I'm going to take a break. But this time, Mrs. Claus is like, no, we got to show him the spirit of Christmas. So she sends two elves, Jingle and Jangle, to out into the world.
Right.
With a reindeer, a baby reindeer, Vixen. And they're immediately picked. They're shot at. There's like a scene where there's like.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, the actual book is very simple. Santa's sick, takes a day off. This movie is that. And then it goes, we go off in some fun little rabbit holes. Yes. Mrs. Claus has to put her foot in everything, I guess. And she's like, nope, not on my watch. Take this baby reindeer, go down to Earth. There you go, Jingle and Jangle. Off you go on this job that you're not qualified to do. See if you can round up some Christmas spirits.
And they wind
up. I'm counting on you.
Yes. And the two miser brothers kind of shoot down their sleigh. They're okay, though. It's just kind of strange. Yeah. It's like a James Bond thing. But they land, and then they're walking around a town, an American town. And they meet an Ignatius, this kid who still believes in Santa Claus, but none of his friends do. And Ignatius asks his parents, do you believe in Santa Claus? And his dad gives a whole story like, yes, I do, as a matter of fact. And he said, you know, you should. There's a man there's two elves that are Jingle and Jangle are arrested. And the poor dog is like in the pound. I mean, the dog, excuse me, the reindeer's in the pound. They put socks over his ears to cover up his horns, whatever.
Full horns. Yeah. It's so charming. I mean, the whole thing is so cute. And the thing that I think is really genius about it, too, is setting it, you know, we're setting it in sort of early 20th century, before anybody who's watching it was probably born. So you could take a little some liberties with some things. You know, we're not competing with television. The First and Second World Wars haven't happened. So it's a very like idealized little world that they're going into. But Jingle and Jangle, yeah, right away they're getting shot at. They're falling out of the sky. And Mrs. Claus, I mean, did she, and I think the subtitle of this should be just Mrs. Claus doesn't think things through. I think that's what we've learned.
Well, they get the mayor picks them up, and the mayor, and they explain to the mayor what they're doing and why they're doing what they're doing, that they're elves and this is a reindeer. And the mayor is just cracking up like, this is just the silliest thing I've heard in my life. And so Ignatius, as he's called Iggy, he takes it upon himself to help the elves go about their mission. And then Mrs. Claus realizes they're in a bunch of trouble. And so she tells her husband, and he's like, oh, boy, OK, get me the sleigh. Let's go out and let's get them. And he immediately just packs nothing with him. He just goes. And he goes to Southtown to get them. And so now it's Mrs. Claus and with the elves. And then do they meet the cold miser first, right?
So this is a weird little, and I've never quite understood, maybe so that kids aren't worried about the reindeer, because the reindeer is sick.
Yeah.
The reindeer is not, you know, Southtown is basically like where I live. The reindeer don't live here. They're not built for that. And so when the reindeer gets picked up by the dog catcher, she's sick. And so while the elves are trying to get Mrs. Claus to help them get the reindeer, meanwhile, Santa scoops in, gets the reindeer out of the pokey, takes the reindeer back to the North Pole to get better. But the rest of the elves and Mrs. Claus don't know that, because nobody's communicating with each other.
No,
here.
There's no walkie-talkies or
anything. And again, Mrs. Claus just does not think a thing is true. Somehow she doesn't understand. Like, you've been married to Santa for hundreds of years. You don't know he's going to go get that reindeer out of there. So, yeah. So then the, now we have to. Oh, the mayor says, well, I'll spring your reindeer from the pound. If you make it snow here, if you say you're an elf. So you got to make it snow here. And they're like, oh, great. So now we got to go find out if we can get snow in Southtown. And so, yeah, that's why they go first to the snow miser.
And
then like a classic Christmas sequence of all time is born.
It's Mr. Snow Miser, and he's singing a song, and he's too much. And it's the music here is just really great. It's really catchy.
It's so good.
It's so fun.
Here he comes now, the big ham.
I'm Mr. White Christmas. I'm Mr. Snow. I'm Mr. Icicle. I'm Mr. Ten Below. Friends call me Snow Miser. Whatever I touch turns to snow in my clutch. I'm too much.
He's Mr. White Christmas, he's Mr. Snow. He's Mr. Icicle, he's Mr. Ten Below.
Friends call me Snow Miser. Whatever I touch turns to snow in my clutch.
He's too much.
So he does his whole little dance crew, and he's like, all right, I'll give you one day of snow here, but then I want a beach day over there or something. And so they're like, okay, I'll ask your brother, the heat miser, if what he should. So we go to see the heat miser. And then this is Dick Shawn, who is a comedian, an actor. He was in The Producers. He plays Hitler in The Producers. This is one of my favorites.
Right. The vocal performances are so awesome.
They're
so good and memorable, and it's so well performed.
It really
I love
is.
Both of them so much.
I'm Mr. Green Christmas. I'm Mr. Sun. I'm Mr. Heat Blister. I'm Mr. 101. They call me Heat Miser. Whatever I touch starts to melt in my clutch. I'm too much.
He's Mr. Green Christmas. He's Mr. Sun. He's Mr. Heat Blister. He's Mr. 101.
They call me Heat Miser. Whatever I touch starts to melt in my clutch.
He's too much.
Thank you.
So they're at an impasse. You know, one doesn't want to do with the other one. He goes, and so they have to call Mother Nature, of course. And
their half brothers. We have to establish that they're half brothers.
Yeah.
I don't know why that's a detail that children need to know about, but okay.
Yeah. They're half brothers.
So they each share a mother who's Mother Nature. By the way, how cute are their little backup guys that they have each of them? They're so like they have these. Each one has a little team of cherubs that looks like him, like little mini me's.
And they just dance
in a little chorus line. Oh, it's so cute.
It's just it just sticks in your head. Like once you hear it, you're singing along. You can't help it.
Oh,
right.
It's the best. So then they got to rope her mom in. She's like, okay, Mrs. Claus is like, oh, I'm really messing this up. I got to go over everybody's head, and I got to go to Mother Nature. And so I remember they go visit her, right?
They
go visit her, and she makes the heat miser and the snow miser come to some kind of a compromise.
Yes. And
they will let it snow in the one place and let it be warm. And then the North Pole is the other place, right?
Right.
So, I mean, It's just so fun. I love all the effects when they do the lightning and the way they've animated everything is just so much fun. And as an adult watching it, it looks like so much work.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. This thing, it took years. It took years to make this stuff happen. Christmas is coming up. Mother Nature negotiates this peace deal. They're going to do a compromise. And kids around the world start sending Santa letters saying, you know, we get it. We're so sorry. If you need to rest, rest. But there's one girl who's like, hey, man, I'm going to have a blue Christmas without you, which is like a sad little song with this sweet little cherub voice.
It's heartbreaking.
Yes.
I remember it used to make really me
upset.
Cry.
Yeah, me too. It really gives me the feels. I get really upset for her.
And, I know.
And Santa's like, well, damn it. I got to get back on that sleigh. I got to be Santa. That's what I do. And he immediately takes all their toys and presents. Like, all right, we're going to distribute these. And they have kids all over the world working together to send their stuff to Santa Claus.
Yeah, there's a whole like small world sequence.
Like
where,
a Coca-Cola
like, the kids...
commercial.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, but it's
great,
so
though.
Cute.
Yeah. And then as Mrs. Santa Claus says, well, we did it. We're so excited and we're so happy. We never imagined there would be a year without a Santa Claus. And there almost was, but there wasn't. And that's the end of the story.
Watching it this time as an adult, again, I love this thing so much. And I've watched it literally all my life. I've had only one Christmas of my life without this movie because it came out my second Christmas. It was out on TV. That sequence where the kids all over the world are packing up the presents and sending them off to the North Pole. This time it reminded me of this episode of Mystery Science Theater 3000. You ever watch Mystery Science Theater?
Oh yeah.
So there's this Christmas episode and I was just looking it up to see what it was called. It is the weirdest movie. It's a Mexican movie. It's just called Santa Claus. This is the plot. Santa and Merlin, you know, Merlin, the wizard from Arthurian legend. So Santa and Merlin, stay with me, save children from the devil. That is the plot. And it opens, it's the weirdest,
is it with Pia Zadora? Pia Zadora?
No, it's from Mexico. It was made in Mexico. So it opens with, it opens with a sequence kind of like that where there's children. He's looking through this telescope and he's looking at children all over the world. But first of all, they're all Mexican children. And there are children playing these very, very cringy stereotypes of the different regions of the world that they're from. It's terrible. Children of the world, some of the children of the world are helping him. Anyway, it's him and Merlin. And yeah, the devil is popping up in children's homes and like making them behave badly so Santa won't bring them anything. And then there's this character who's a little girl named, I think her name is Lupita, and she's dirt poor and she has absolutely nothing. And it's just like the most depressing sequence. Like this child is, you just, yeah. It's real bad. Anyway, I recommend it just because it's so terrible. It's you will laugh. You probably won't sit through the whole thing, but you get a few minutes of fun out of it. But anyway, yeah, it was very that. I wish it was like the one in the Rankin-Bass special.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, again, it's super small world.
I think it's Santa Claus versus the Martians. That's another one that they did. And I think that's one with Pia Zadora.
Yes.
Yes, I think that's it. Well, then there's Krampus. That's another story that people...
Oh, that's a whole other thing.
That's a whole other tradition. So, yeah, that's the story. That's pretty much it. It's followed by Rudolph and Frosty's Christmas in July. So they tried doing summer specials with these, but they don't really work as well.
No, they don't.
No.
But I like Here Comes Santa Claus. And this one, though, is my favorite. Yeah. I think... This one, they really took the format as far as they could take it. I mean, they just do stuff with this particular special that they hadn't figured out how to do yet in some of the earlier ones. Mm-hmm. And also, like you say, it's really about the music. The music is so catchy and so well done. There's some popular songs like Here Comes Santa Claus is in that. And Blue Christmas, of course, was already a hit by then. So there's songs that you know, but then there's new songs that you've never heard before, like the Heat Miser, Cold Miser song. And it's all just a delight.
I should say it's
less than an hour.
It's Murray Laws is the composer. And I think Jules Bass or Rankin, one of the Rankin or Bass, one of those would do the lyrics, but he did all the composing and stuff. So it's released. It's on Amazon. They're all on Amazon. You could stream them. And I say, if you've never seen it before, or if you have fond memories of it, go check it out. It was really fun. And the original story is great.
It is. It's good. Oh, yeah. The original story is also super good. Again, if you, you know, I don't know, you have some reason that you need to read something to kids and you're sick of reading The Night Before Christmas, this is a great one.
Yeah. And it's easy to get.
Yeah. Super easy to get your hands on all the way around, the movie and the book. And so which do you like better?
Oh, the movie.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. I watched it twice this week. It holds up.
It really does. And it's fun, you know, now that we are older and we live in this age of just like CG anything, you know, again, like father-in-law can come back as a hologram.
Kardashian, yes.
To sing his praises to Kim Kardashian. And yet, so you know, now that we've seen what we've seen, you know, in 2021, it's easier to have an appreciation for all of the craft and the creativity that went into this little movie. It's brilliant. I loved this time looking at you know, it's fun to look at all the background stuff, like all the sets that they built and all the, you know, little houses and the little touches of the costumes that the characters are wearing and all of that. It's just lovely.
We covered the Fantastic Mr. Fox a few months ago, and that was the same thing. They did stop motion.
Yes.
And that was excellent too. Yeah.
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 Yeah. And I mean, and it borrowed a lot of the things that were pioneered by Rankin-Bass and things just like this. It's really a classic and holds up.
Yep.
Definitely holds up. What are we doing next?
Well, we have a few ideas. We had the Poirot episode, which I need to source, but I know there's an episode.
Yeah.
There's Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. I saw a movie. I remember this book when I was a kid, and it does have a Christmas element to it. And it's a young adult book, and it's called Jacob Have I Loved. I don't know if you've ever heard of that one.
I vaguely remember it.
Yeah. It was one of those, like, I read in the seventh grade or something like that. And there's a movie, there's a free streaming movie of it on Amazon, and that's like 200 pages. There's Christmas in, I never can say this right, Canaan. There's that. We did The Bishop's Wife or Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, but I feel like it'll be the same thing we're doing now.
I'm sure I've seen it because I've seen like all of the, I love that David Suchet is my favorite Poirot. But I don't remember it very well. That's so funny. It's from 1994. Let's do that one. Cause I think,
Hercule.
French just escapes me.
It's Hercule. It's season 6, episode 1. It's on Amazon Prime.
Oh, great. What I love about, especially about the David Suchet Poirots, is that they often will take the original story and then they change it just a little bit. They add like different fun, very Agatha Christie-esque touches to it. And so I know that there's a difference between the book and the movie, but I honestly don't remember. I know I've seen it, but I don't remember about it.
Yes. And it's a book by Agatha Christie, 1938, excuse me. Oh, it's great. So that's the one we're going to use. That's the one we're going to do. Oh, I'm excited.
Awesome. Yay.
Yeah.
We haven't done Agatha Christie for a while.
And people like Agatha Christie. They like that one that we did.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's another one coming out soon we should do too. The one,
right.
Kenneth Branagh. The name
is it Poirot again? It is, right?
Yeah, because it's Branagh.
Yeah,
I think that's his thing now.
I have mixed feelings about it. I have mixed feelings about Branagh's Poirot. We can talk about it next time. But
yeah,
he's a little like Poirot meets Die Hard. It's a little.
It's Hercule Poirot Christmas TV episode 1994. Once again, that's. Season 6, episode 1. It's on Prime, Amazon Prime. We will be talking about that. And we get the book is pretty easy to get. I'm sure the book is very easy to get. Thank you all so much. Please follow us on all the things. Please send us your suggestions. Clearly, we need suggestions. Yes. And we're listening. All those
places. Did we mention it's been 7 years?
Yes. And Margo, where can they find you?
You can find me online at coloniabook.com, and all of my social media callouts are at She's Not Your Mama. And where can they find you?
You can find me at Brooklyn Fit Chick, mostly for Twitter and Instagram. And my site is brooklynfitchick.com. Happy holidays, everybody. And we will be back next week with a new episode. Thank you so much for listening to the Book vs. Movie podcast. We are a part of the Frolic Podcast Network. You can find more podcasts you will love at frolic.media/podcasts. We follow the hashtags LadyPodSquad and PodernFamily. If you want to support the show, you can go to our Patreon page, go to PATREON, and look for Book vs. Movie Podcast. We have a basic Facebook page, but we also have a private Facebook group. Go to Facebook and type in Book vs. Movie Podcast Group if you want to join that. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Book vs. Movie. Spell all those words out. If you'd like to send us an email, it's bookversusmoviepodcast, spell that all out, at gmail.com. You can follow Margot D. at Brooklyn Fit Chick on social media, and Margot P. at She's Nacho Mama. Thanks so much again for checking out our show, and we'll be back soon with a new episode.